Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going down?
I'm doing great. I'm doing even better, in fact, because I've just read that the robot restaurant is back in Shinjuku.
No.
The robot restaurant is back.
I'm not surprised, to be honest. I think the real surprise was that it just stayed shut indefinitely. I always wondered if it was coming back, given that it was like the number one tourist thing to do in Tokyo. It must have been a serious cash cow for the folks in Shinjuku, right? But we can go there, we can see some robots and blow staggering amounts of money. Woo-hoo.
Staggering amounts of money. We can. I was reading that somebody on, I don't know what newspaper this is. It kind of looks like the Daily Mail travel pages, I think. But a woman called Hilary Mahoney is writing, like, you know, like questions to the editor or questions to the, you know, the, whoever's writing the writing the section. My 11-year-old granddaughter Poppy is an avid anime fan, so I have she put a lovely little accent over the E there. So I've suggested that I treat her and her parents to a trip to Japan, taking in the usual sights as well as visits to Studio Ghibli and also and other anime highlights. My budget could be about £25,000. Do you have any idea on where I start organising this? And somebody's just taken a picture of it and tweeted, I beg your pardon. Now, that does seem like a lot of money, but you do sort of go, right, family, that automatically adds up like to about 10 grand. Like, it's you just sort of go, I see how they could spend £25,000. But even for Japan, that seems excessive.
God, yeah. Like, what the hell?
Taxis, I mean, everywhere.
You could stay in a top hotel room.
I guess so, yeah. Taxis everywhere, rooms. Yeah.
Michelin star dining.
Yeah.
Robot restaurant, 5 times. Yeah. You could do a lot.
Yeah.
If I know someone who runs a top luxury travel company who specializes in like billionaires, and you know, she's told me some pretty ludicrous things in the past. Like, she had one client who just like booked the whole Golden Pavilion
in
Kyoto, just the whole thing, Kinkakuji Temple. I want it. I want that. And you get to have dinner like there in the shadow of the temple all to yourself for something like, I think it costs something like $20,000 to $30,000 or something.
The amount of business they get though, you think that that would be way more than £20,000, £30,000.
It might have been more. It might have been 40. I'm not sure.
Okay.
All I remember was thinking that's an obscene amount of money.
I remember,
but not to those clients. And a lot of those clients like use helicopters as well. So you could spend $25,000 just going a helicopter. It costs $300 for a helicopter ride over Tokyo. Last time I checked.
Yeah, but if you sort of go, right, if you need to get one side of Tokyo to the other, or get to the airport, it's probably, You know, if a taxi's about 80 quid, you just be like, well, you know what, can you fly me to Kyoto, please? Just land straight in the middle of straight in the middle of a temple. Yeah, I think I was once at a place called some kind of palace, an old kind of rich person Hollywood actor's retreat in the Cotswolds, I think it was. And it was all the fucking Tories lived there and stuff back in the day, all the peers. And we were there and it was like super fancy. And I remember in the night, there's this massive palatial sort of courtyard where everyone's got their tax-free old retro cars and stuff. And I was driving up my Fiat 500. And they'd set up for the evening. They'd set up a big sign, a big fire. It wasn't even fireworks. It was just a big LED sign that said, "Happy Birthday, John." And they played the Titanic theme music, right? And it cost them to do just that with a big sign saying, "Happy Birthday, John." That was 20 grand. And it's like, that is fucking ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Bit of Titanic. Went on, went off, that was it. It's amazing.
Oh, what a waste of money.
Yep.
Honestly. But, like, I don't know, 25 grand in Japan. Just stay at some really nice ryokans. Did they say how long it was that they were here? Like how long they're here?
Oh, I didn't. It was just a letter to the editor, and it's upset a lot of people on online. I beg your pardon.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a 2 week holiday, that's an excessive amount. But good luck to them. Go and rent King Kakuji Temple. Splash around. I've had a fun week. We finally found a studio. Speaking of bloody tons of money, we found a brand new studio in Tokyo. It's done. I'm free. I say I'm free. We've got to move the whole thing now, which is just a nightmare that's about to begin, right? But it's a nice place. It's fairly central to Tokyo. It's weird. It's bigger than the old one, which I'm currently in right now, which I've come back to Sendai for. And I remember I came in here the other day into the old studio, and I just felt small, which I think is a testament to the fact that the new one's bigger. I don't really know how much bigger it is. I think it's probably 30 to 40% larger, and it's a slightly nicer building than this one. This is like a building from the 1970s. But it's really exciting. It's going to be cool. Once the stressful moving of everything is taken care of, it's going to be cool to be able to just do this and record a video without having to come all the way back to Sendai, as I have done this week. But exciting times ahead.
Yeah. What were you kind of looking for with this setup? What differed from what you were the using before? Just a little bit bigger, a little bit more spacious, a little bit more space for activities.
Yeah, it's got more than one toilet, which is always good.
Ooh.
So I can choose which toilet. Choose your own adventure. So when you come here, Pete, you could be like, shall I have the left toilet or the right toilet? The possibilities are quite literally endless, limitless. But it's bigger because we'll probably have more people in it. We'll probably have more folks inside it for a lot of the time during the week and whatnot. And I my greatest regret with this studio, which I love dearly, it's my favourite thing, is that, I just couldn't show people the studio because it's not in Tokyo. So to have it in Tokyo is going to be amazing. You can have people swing by. And also we're looking at, another reason it's slightly bigger is I wanted to kind of expand the studio slightly as well. One big problem with it is I don't film down the left street that much. That makes it sound a lot bigger than it is. The left street
the left
of my
street.
Studio. But like the left side of it, right, with the distant street, with the candy store and the electronics store and stuff, I don't get to film there often because it's kind of cramped and difficult to do. So I'd like to expand that and then add in like a 1980s Japanese kind of sitting room, living room. And I think that could be really fun.
Yeah.
So that's something we're looking at doing. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And on top of that, been doing Journey Across Japan, which is just about to finish. Very
emotional.
Four episodes of adventure.
That was how has it been received? As we were discussing last week, it's a chilly experience in the middle of summer.
Yeah, the first two episodes didn't do that well for whatever reason. Probably, I don't know, could be dodgy thumbnails, not enticing titles. It's one of those things. Oh, and also, I released it on Monday and Tuesday. And a little fun fact is the best day to release YouTube videos is Saturday and Sunday, naturally, when people are off work, especially if the videos are longer.
I thought it was
like
Sunday.
But
I thought Sunday was terrible. Interesting.
No. Because on Sunday, you know, people are off work, chilling, doing nothing other than watching Succession finales, as I was. And, so it's kind of a good day to release. But the third episode did pretty well. Maybe our best one yet. We had a rap-off between Natsuki, DJ Rapsky. No, was it DJ Rapsky and DJ Dr. Jelly? And they had a rap-off against each other. That was pretty fun. We went to Ainu Village, the indigenous Ainu Village, which I don't know if we've ever talked about in the podcast before, but in Hokkaido, there are an indigenous people, the Ainu folks, and they've been around Hokkaido for hundreds of years, 1,000 years or so. And then in the kind of 19th century, the folks from the mainland Japan turned up and were like, oh, you've got all the fertile land. How about we'll have that and you go over there into the mountains of nothing. And they basically moved all the Ainu folks away from the fertile, nice coastal areas inland to these kind of really landlocked mountainous regions that are a little bit barren. But it was there we went to this Ainu Koltan, this Ainu village, and it was really cool, really nice vibe. Ate some deer because that's what they eat. They ate the deer, which is delicious. Or as Natsuki calls it, Bambi's meat. And it was a good trip. Good trip all along. We went to the coldest town in all of Japan called Rikubetsu, which is it's had a record minus 38 degrees Celsius there. But throughout the year, it's the coldest town in Japan. And ironically, when we went there, in the last episode, we went to the most eastern accessible point in Japan, in East Hokkaido. And that was really cold. It was like minus 20. And then we went to the coldest town in Japan, and it was minus 2. So it was quite anticlimactic. But luckily, the rap kind of brought it back from the brink. It's a good episode. It's a good episode.
Good stuff.
But, yeah, check it out. Check it out now. On Abroad in Japan. It's good. We've got a story this week from Justin from Melbourne, who says, hello, Chris and Pete. When I was 16 years old, so about 7 years ago, I was living in Kyoto as an exchange student. One day, I decided to spice things up a bit by going out for a night with some friends of mine who were also expats. There was some miscommunication, and I was under the impression that I'd be able to stay the night at my friend's house, but that turned out to be not the case. There I was, stuck in Kyoto, having missed the final train of the evening. I decided to make the most of it by letting my feet take me and aimlessly wandering around the streets of Kyoto at 1 a.m. Shortly after, three Japanese men with suitcases approached me and asked me what I was up to. While they seemed friendly, I got flustered and told them that I was not, in fact, 16, but 22 years old.
Oh, dear.
And I was looking for a bar to drink at. Very naughty, Justin. This seemed easier to digest than admitting that I was a 16-year-old that was homeless for the night. They invited me to come with them, and I was obliged, thinking that we were going just to walk a few metres. They then called a taxi.
Oh, dear.
There I was, wondering how stupid I might be to jump in a taxi with three strangers. I figured that it was Japan, so why not? And I did it anyway. 10 minutes later, we arrive in a dodgy-looking district and exit the taxi. Outside of the bar entrance were two very beefy-looking Japanese men, covered in tattoos from head to toe. Something felt off, but curiosity got the better of me. I walked into the bar, and the first thing I noticed was that all the staff were female and looked borderline underage. I realised I was not too far gone to bail at this point, so I went with the flow. When I asked for the bill, an hour later, I was mortified when 1 hour at the bar with two beers totaled 40,000 yen. I had no more than 5,000 yen in my wallet and was in a panic, thinking I was going to get my finger chopped off by the two men outside. Then suddenly, one of the three men I came with handed over five 10,000 yen notes to the lady at the bar. We left, and still trembling, I asked what kind of bar that was. They then explained the concept of kabakura in Japan, where you pay an hourly rate to essentially speak to attractive young women. Needless to say, it was an experience that the innocent 16-year-old me expected. Cheers, guys. Justin from Melbourne. Good God. A real baptism of fire there. But luckily, a lucky escape. Could have ended much worse, as we've discussed in the past. Such bars, you can leave with a pretty spectacular dent in your credit card. What do you think, Pete, though? A lucky escape, a good experience? What do you make of it?
I'm glad it went well. at 16 years old, just cutting around Kyoto, the night spots of Kyoto. Fantastic stuff. Look, well done. I mean, look, what a great story that could have ended incredibly badly. And well done on the randoms who one of the three men that came in with. I thought it was some randoms who came over and get handed over 10,000 yen notes. I mean, it's a lot of cash to be churning out, isn't it?
I mean, it's. I think I've been to Kabakura once because there's a fundamental difference between snack bars and Kabakura. Snack bars are way cheaper. They're everywhere, and it's just some women just talking and giving you snacks. Whereas Kabakura, the women are really heavily incentivized to sort of get the money out of you, get you buying them drinks, get you buying the champagne, have like a big kanpai, cheers for everyone. So, yeah, very pricey. I don't see the point. I've never really got it. But still very popular and very bizarre.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just a bit rubbish. It's just a bit stupid, I don't know. I appreciate Japanese culture through and through, but in the same way I feel about pachinko and chucking away all your money on some steel fucking ball bearings going round in circles, I feel the exact same way about Kabakura. There are better ways to spend your money on a night out, for sure, for real. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Do it once. Get your friend to pay. Get Pete to pay. Pete will pay for you.
I'll pay for you.
He'll do it.
He'll pay. I've actually got a bit of an announcement, Chris. I've actually booked the time off for heading over in late August, early September. Me and my partner are going to be coming over.
Well, that's good.
Late. It's sort of. I know. They say, and I say, don't come in August because it's too hot. We're going to be coming in late August, so there we go. Couldn't wait long enough.
Fantastic. And ironically, it's the one time of the year that I'm in England recording the fucking audiobook.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
good
so we're not going to bloody see you.
When are you, you going to be on for the fucking audiobook?
I don't know, like the second or last week of August or something.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, it's only creepy into August a little bit. I'll be doing some bits in September as well, so.
Yeah.
Always the way. We'll figure it out.
Oh, God. Anyway, it's more important that you have a holiday, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's been a very, very long time since I've been
there. Yeah, and your partner's never been to Japan, right?
No, Sarah's she came on a I think a 1 day or 2 day stopover on the way to Australia, but I think it was very much dealing with jet lag and getting pissed in Shinjuku, which she'll do a lot more of, to be quite frank.
Naturally. And now, of course, you can take her to Robot Restaurant because it's back open.
Yeah!
So get in. Fantastic. Well, what's going on in Japan this week, Mr. Donaldson? What is the news? Give us some happy, light-hearted news to fill our hearts with love and joy.
Oh, dear.
As you always do.
About that. A suspected bear attack in Hokkaido's Lake Shumaranai district this month has raised concerns about officials and bear experts that the island's growing population of brown bears, now estimated at 12,000, is increasing the risks of deadly encounters. The police are investigating the disappearance of a 54-year-old man, Toshihiro Nishikawa, who was fishing by himself at the lake located at the town of Horikanai. I think we spoke about this last week, I think, on the show. The police spotted a bear with an unidentified human head, which obviously scared the shit out of everyone. And most bear attacks occur in the spring and autumn months, particularly between April and June, as the bears are emerging from hibernation. The exact population of Hokkaido brown bears is difficult to pin down, but they've definitely doubled over the three-decade period between 1990 and 2020. Will there be a bear cull is the question, Chris, because that's obviously a recent joint survey by the Hokkaido Shimbun and the Hokkaido Hunters Association showed that the hunters are aging and falling in number. So there are fewer bear hunters And obviously that means more bears. So hunters groups find themselves getting more calls for help from local governments after bear sightings. And there just seems to be a real issue with bears encroaching on humans' habitat. And those who care about animals would probably say for the record that it's very much the bears' habitat that we're encroaching on and have been for centuries. But it's one of those things where bear, beast and man cannot seem to get along in this particular situation, because bears are fucking huge and hungry all of the time.
Yeah, I mean, if I'd seen there was a bear story coming this week, I would have killed it. Not the bear, the story, because we've covered bears a lot.
So many bears.
So I've got some bear trivia for you. Do you know which country has the most bear attacks in the world?
Ooh.
Test.
So many bear attacks in the world. It's got to be... No, I'm going to say something ridiculous, so I'm not even going to bother. I'm trying to think, like, what's really built up, but there's lots of, like... what's really built up and slightly cold and, you know, I mean... Is it Russia?
Come on. Yeah, it's Russia. Well
is it
done.
Russia? There we go.
You're a genius.
All right, fine, thank you. Thanks very much.
Yeah, and I think Russia, it's... I don't think I have the exact numbers. That's kind of sad.
Good, cool.
I've
good
got
stuff.
The statistic. 2015, there were 35 bear attacks in Japan. So really, we are bigging up something that isn't as much of an issue as we make it out to be, really. It's just when it does happen, it hits the news in a big way. And it's often very graphic and unpleasant as well. But it's unfortunate. It's weird. I like bears. I feel sad for them.
Yeah.
Because they just want to live in harmony, but then they get a bit hungry, and then there's people just wandering around the fields of Hokkaido. Bad things happen.
I want to do a parody of Girls on Film. Guys and bears. Guys and bears. Lovely.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
I forgot about your bloody song, Guys with Swords. Yeah. I don't know what we can say about bears. That hasn't already been said 1,000 times on this podcast. Stay vigilant, stay careful. Take bear spray when travelling around Hokkaido in summer. It's all well and good till someone gets eaten by a bear. And don't let that be you.
No.
Obviously, we took precautions on the cycle, though. We did have a can each of bear spray. And I remember there was at least two or three moments where Connor and I went off the real beaten path to some areas that I was a little bit scary, because these sort of long grass areas where bears can just pop out and whatnot. And they don't like being startled. And Connor and I speeding through at 20 kilometres an hour wasn't probably the best way to a great way to startle a bear. But no, we were lucky. Everything went smoothly. Maybe because it's not as bad in September. Mm. But Be careful. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, for your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, Listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson?
Oh, more from Saudi Arabia. Dear curmudgeon Chris and persnickety Pete, I have a question about geisha maiko shows in Kyoto. Do they accommodate for people who don't drink alcohol or who have special dietary restrictions? We don't want to come off as rude by turning down their hospitality. All the best. More from Saudi Arabia. Surely these shows are built for foreign viewers, Chris, and must have kind of pop their head into the new century.
Yeah, I mean, geisha, maika, like, it's quite hard to see geisha in Kyoto. When I was down there, I thought we were going to go and see them at one point. This a friend of mine, a Japanese guy, was like, yeah, let's go and see some geisha. That didn't happen. But what we did do is we went to a bar, and in the bar there was a geisha in training, like a maiko. So a younger girl. I think she was really young. She was like 17 or 18 or something. And it was kind of depressing, actually, because the girl was really nice and very smart. She was surprisingly bilingual as well, just started speaking English, which really took me off guard. And we were like, oh, do you enjoy doing this? And she was like, oh, I don't know. And it was like, oh, shit, that's not what I want to hear. Mm. I thought you'd be loving it. And she was really upfront and blunt and sort of said, oh, I wish I could travel the world. This is kind of not that good. Mm. And there was a sense of regret in her voice from it. And it kind of made me wonder. She said she got into it because she was into, she loved the dancing and the sort of songs and the more playful aspects of it. But the sad truth for this girl at this bar was, you know, while guys just, the bar staff are just pouring drinks for the customers, like myself, she would sort of had to go up and down and talk to them all and sort of entertain them. It just didn't look that good for her, unfortunately. Amazing outfit, though. The dress, what she was wearing, were amazing. I think you can see a photo of her as well on my Twitter and just social media. After the Kyoto bar video that I posted back in April, I posted some photos, and you can see her there. Really nice girl. But I don't actually know if you can see geisha in Kyoto without having known somebody who has access to the places already. And I only learned about the system while I was there on this trip. But basically, to go to a geisha house, you have to be introduced by somebody who's already been. And then they, when you do go, the person who's taking you has to pay for you as well.
Right, like, okay.
You're not allowed to pay on your first time. The person that takes you has to pay.
Interesting.
And it's this very sort of quite impressive traditional system. So, yeah, at best, you'll see some Maiko if you go to Kyoto. You might have like a Maiko experience. It's not the real thing, unfortunately. And it's quite prohibitively expensive. So, yeah, I don't know if I'd recommend it personally. But they are fine if you don't drink alcohol. And I think they're fine with dietary restrictions. But, yeah, bear in mind these sort of experiences aren't kind of the real thing when you do get them in Kyoto. We got one here from Trent who says, "Greetings, crispy chicken Chris. I'm bloody hungry, Trent. How dare you bring up food at this moment? I haven't had lunch yet. And plain loving Pete." This is Trent from Denver, Colorado. "I'm ashamed to admit, or unashamed to admit rather, but I recently went through rehab for my addiction to alcohol, so sadly no more strong zeros for me outside of Sensoji Temple. This whole experience left me wondering, what is Japan's view on addiction, be it alcohol or something else? How do they treat addiction, if at all? I know their view on mental health is not the most healthy. Wishing you the best, guys, Trent." Good on you, Trent. I hope you got out the other side of it all right. Everyone I know who's in Japan who's addicted, it's usually cigarettes, and for the most part, yeah, that they haven't stopped. Even though Japan's had a massive crackdown on where you can smoke, Pete hasn't stopped people like Natsuki from doing it. So, yeah, but I don't think it's viewed. Yeah, I don't really know, to be honest, mate. I'm not well versed on that. Any thoughts, Pete?
No, I mean, obviously, we're a bit fast and loose with our celebration of liquor and stuff on this podcast, regrettably, because I am a big lush. But in the same way that I don't think Japan is the very best at their social services and, you know, mental health treatment, I can't imagine addiction is that much different. I mean, on the trains and subways and you know, just walking around, you don't see a lot of kind of adverts for you know, temperance and calming your shit down a little bit. So yeah, I would suggest that it probably isn't great because so many people are you know, indulging all of the time. But you know, who knows where it'll sort of stand in maybe 10 years time, because obviously the aging population is a massive strain on their health service and stuff like that. So if you're adding in sort of addiction to booze, I mean, that's only going to make things worse, and there'll probably be some kind of governmental impetus to change that all. So I don't know how it's treated in Japan. Maybe we'll look that up, and maybe somebody who's experienced it in Japan can let us know on the email address. What is the email address again, Chris? I've completely forgotten. AbroadInJapan@gmail.com. AbroadInJapan podcast? AbroadInJapan. What is it?
Have you forgotten?
I know. I never have to say it, though.
AbroadInJapan podcast@gmail.com.
AbroadInJapan podcast@gmail.com. Sorry, everyone.
After all this time. Shocking. Well, the good news is, yeah, Japan has seen a drop in smoking. But in 2019, the smoking rate was around 18%, so still pretty high by the standards of the West, anyway. But I remember back in the earlier days, you know, you'd be sitting in an izakaya, and someone who worked for a smoking company could just walk in and give you free cigarettes to try and test the new flavors. And it's just, I remember just being absolutely shocked at this, because I'd come from the UK where, of course, around that time, they were putting pictures of people with lung cancer and just horrible cancerous tumours on packets. And then you come to Japan, there was no such thing. And you're just being gifted, effectively, free cigarettes. And you can smoke indoors. That doesn't seem to happen anymore. Smoking indoors is becoming increasingly rare, which is very good. So, yeah, the numbers are down. So that's, in terms of smoking, things are heading in the right direction. Can't say the same for drinking, although I do think we talked about it in a previous podcast, didn't we, how younger folks were drinking less alcohol and this had shaken up the distillery industry in Japan a little bit because people just don't drink as much now than as they used to. And I think that's probably a very good thing as well. We got one last question here from Alan, who says, hello, courteous Chris and proper Pete. I'm Alan from sunny Swindon in the UK. Sunny Swindon.
Sunny
My
Swindon.
Question relates to Japan's heritage railway scene. Is there a big scene like there is in the UK where there are several heritage railways across the country? Or just is it just the Chili Snow Express in Hokkaido that featured on Journey Across Japan? All the best, guys. Alan. There are... There is. I don't know how it compares to the UK's train scene. But I will say, like, the Fuyu Shingen or the Fuyu Shitsugen, I can't remember the exact name of it, the winter train we featured on Journey Across Japan, where Natsuki and I rode it across the fields of Hokkaido, across the wetlands. That was really cool, and that was only open for about 3 or 4 weeks of the year in February. So a really limited thing, but one that I recommend checking out. It was an amazing experience just because of the sort of party-like, Great Gatsby-esque atmosphere of the train. No matter how much Natsuki liked to think it was like Harry Potter, it wasn't. It was like Great Gatsby. It was more of a party than that. But there are lots of train companies, and there's the 7-star Luxury Express in Kyushu, which uses a slightly older train, I think, but I think that's also modern. So I don't know, unfortunately, Alan. I'm not your guy. But I do know Japan does have one of the most sort of diverse ranges of train experiences going, and there are so many channels these days popping up just covering trains in Japan. Have you seen these channels, Pete? The sleeper trains, the steam trains, the night trains that are popping up everywhere.
They're always very popular on YouTube. I know that much. People seem to really like them. Because a lot of public transport just does not look like that. And Japan will indulge in small run, bespoke little experiences like that, and it's really it's really nice to see. It looks really bougie and nice, but I've seen so many videos. There are so many little train lines that run around Japan. It really is the country that really respects and loves train travel.
Respect the trains. Respect the train travel. But yeah, it's a cool country for that. Get on the sleeper train. You've got to do it once. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to brawnjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys, to all over again. But for now, do check out the final episodes of Journey Across Japan, Frozen Frontier. Check out the train, the beautiful train there. But for now, guys, yeah, have a great few days. We'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.